flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
This is Jones and Keefe.
I'm just curious just to confirm on the
Did you just Google a question? Did you just Google a question?
No. I was just thinking about right, the
here
first
we go.
Answer.
This guy.
No.
Grab a question.
You said.
Do your homework.
I do my homework
do your
every
homework.
Day. I'm cramming.
He's over here Googling questions.
So the reason Mac, I was thinking about Mac. The reason
now Drake. Now he's frazzled. He's frazzled.
Yeah, he's frazzled.
I'm going to walk this back tomorrow. So the reason Drake didn't sneak is because of the concussion issue.
No, it's not. That was a conversation that we had in the past.
He's clear and all set. He could have stopped.
Yeah, he's out of the concussion protocol. He can quarterback sneak. And again, look, it's on me. I like that, though. I like that.
You like
that. I'll get you off it.
Jones and Keefe right now on WEEI.
Ready for a little more Mayo hot seat talk? Of course I'm ready. I can't believe we're at this point with this guy. Yesterday, with Chris Curtis, my favorite line in that whole exchange. So awkward and so out there.
Yeah.
I saw maybe Dakota Randall at Nesson highlight this, and he's like, I can't believe this is how the exchanges go now with the head coach after 20 years with Bill Belichick. My favorite line in there, though, is, I'll get you off the air.
I'll get you. I can't think of anything right now.
I got nothing. I'm tap dancing right now.
Wait until somebody gives me a good line. I'll come back to you.
Gears are spinning, but you don't worry. I'll get you off the air because I can't get you right now.
You might have won the battle, but not the war. You're like, all right, coach. Why don't you get back to throwing guys under the bus?
It really is kind of a microcosm of just how much he struggles in those settings.
He's not good at it. Now, I definitely think that you can be a successful coach in a variety of ways. I think you can be a personality unlike Belichick. Like, that worked for Bill. I think it can work for other coaches. Like, you see, like, a Dan Campbell press conference or, you know, some of these other guys. Like, I think you can show your personality and still be good.
Yeah.
The problem is when you're losing, like, whatever you're doing when you're winning is the right way to do it. And then whatever you're doing when you're losing looks like the wrong way to do it. And it's hard to kind of spin out of that in any way. And so, yeah, he's been up against it, and you would have thought this would have been one of the things he was comfortable in.
Well, this is what I keep going back to. You can have personality and be a coach and be a successful head coach. And
look at Greg Popovich.
Yeah.
All right, horrible example.
What a fun guy.
Yeah, never mind.
Like, even like Rex Ryan for
Hey, burnt hot.
For the 20 years going head-to-head with Bill, that's the closest you had to real competition in the division.
That was it. 2 years.
Until the tail end, I guess, with Josh Allen. That's the closest you had to real competition. Right. And he burned hot, like you said.
Uh-huh.
And there might be a shelf life for it. But Rex did it completely differently and went to back-to-back AFC title games. And that's an example of it can work. I don't know how long it'll work for, but it can work.
I mean, Pete Carroll won a Super Bowl. He was the opposite
Great
of
one.
Belichick in many ways.
Great one. I mean, Andy Reid, I think, is very different than Bill. Yeah. So there are a lot of different ways to do it. But the problem is you put all your eggs in the personality basket. All your eggs in we're going to relate to the player basket. And none in can he coach? You know, has he ever called plays before? Is he qualified to do it? None of that. You went completely off gut and personality. And it turns out, I don't even think the things you thought he was going to be great at, he's very good at.
No.
He doesn't relate to the players. You know, I'm not sure how bought in the players are. We had heard for weeks and weeks, at least the players haven't checked out. They kind of look like they did against Arizona. They came back from the bye week and they were like, F this. And on top of it, you thought at least he wouldn't be a disaster as the outward-facing PR arm of the organization. And he is miserable at it. It might be the thing he's worst at. That might not be super high on the totem pole when it comes to importance. I want him to be able to coach. I want him to get wins. I want him to have a scheme. I want him to get players to buy in, all these things. But that PR thing every week is it's just embarrassing for him.
I think we were sort of pitched that, you know, different was going to be better. Right? Like they were going to work together as a group. They were going to communicate. So different was better, where it's really, no, different is just different. He's like, he's more open, but it's worse because if he puts his foot in his mouth so many times and then he just like comically walks it back the next day. Whereas before, like, I think if you're going to show your personality, just say what you mean what you say, and kind of move on. Like, stand by what you, I'd have way more respect for it if you just kind of like stood by things. Cause you're like, all right, that's what he says today. Wait till tomorrow. That's going to change. But this, like, all season long, we've kind of gone back to it because the record's what the record is, and you can put that up.
It's not good.
But it's poor. Yeah. It's one of the worst in the league currently. And you can argue all these different things about how bad the roster is, and that's out of his control. The coordinators are inexperienced, out of his control. Like, there are plenty of excuses you can make for him, but then when it comes back to him, you say, all right, great. What does he do? What's his best thing? Why do you want to keep him? And what most people come back with is, nah, not fair to fire a guy after 1 year. You're like, okay, but is there anything like trending in the right direction? Is there something that he does with the players? Is there something he does with a play calling thing? And that's the tricky thing. I'm all for hiring first year head coaches. Guys have to start somewhere. I don't just want retreads, but when you have nothing to kind of fall back on, that's when it's kind of tough. It's not like he was a genius play caller as a coordinator and just finally got his shot. And you can say, well, this is the guy that schemed up all these things. Like, when Belichick struggled either in Cleveland or in 2000, you could point to, well, that was the genius Giants defensive coordinator. Like, just give him a minute. Like, give him time.
You knew what he did.
Yeah. And, like, even some of these offensive guys, you're like, Kyle Shanahan, they didn't have a great record at first, but they didn't have a great quarterback. And you're like, yeah, he got Matt Ryan, an MVP. Like, just give him a chance. I don't know what you point to with Gerard Mayo. Like, I honestly don't. And nobody has said anything other than, well, if you fire him after year one, that's a bad look.
So I think there were a few things people were pointing to as of a week or so ago. And we can get into it here on Jones and Keefe. It's a busy Tuesday, a tier Tuesday.
Oh, yeah.
I think we're going to do multiple tiers today, Keefe. What
double
do you think
the tiers. It's the holiday season. Double the tiers. I'm not going to be in next Tuesday. I don't think any of us are, Christmas Eve. So let's double the tiers.
Okay, so we got Christmas movie tiers coming up.
Hell yeah.
A little over an hour from now at 11:20. We'll do our traditional NFL tiers today.
Yeah, got to do those.
As well at 12:20. So mark that down. Double tier Tuesday as we approach the holiday season. We're going to get to Tommy Curran, at high noon on a Tommy Tuesday. We have Kiefer Madness at 12:45 as we do every Tuesday. And, we're expecting a little D'Angelo's today.
Oh, yeah.
On a D'Angelo's Tuesday as well, which means we have a little extra pep in our step. Your phone number, 617-779-7937. You can dial us up there and also text us. Same number. You can interact on Twitter and Instagram at Jones and Keefe. Follow along on twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. You can watch there. You can chat there. Always a healthy conversation. And watch on YouTube. Just subscribe to WEEI. So, the main thing you hear, and I want to hear this from you guys on the phones. Why would you keep him? Why would you keep Jerod Mayo? What's keeping him here? What does he do that makes you think he's earned a second year? Again, 617-779-7937. I want to hear those examples.
The reasons?
Yeah. And so
I think I might have one.
I think number one, is, you know, coaches deserve a second year, as you said.
Yeah, that's not even mine, though.
I don't think that's a great reason at all, but that's the number one thing you hear, which is nothing about him. That's just, in a vacuum, coaches deserve a second season. So that has nothing to do with him. That's just your general philosophy on coaches, which I personally don't subscribe to, and I don't subscribe to it with him.
Wiggy was giving me the business during the break.
Oh, I heard.
And so he was saying
he almost called in yesterday.
Almost did.
Yeah.
Lost the number, apparently. Yeah. But we said you can call in anytime.
Maybe he texted instead. It's the same number.
So my thing that I keep saying, like a broken record, is I'm so sick of the Dan Campbell comparisons, because Dan Campbell at least finished his first year strong. And so they won 3 games. So they were a horrible team his first year. Of course, he took over whatever Matt Patricia left over. So you could argue that was even worse than what Bill left for Mayo. But anyway, he won 3 games, but they went 3-3 in their final 6. So it was trending upwards going into the offseason. Mm-hmm. And Wiggy's point was they were horrible to start the year. And I'm like, right. They were 0-10 or whatever it was. And then they actually showed life
throughout
and they
the year.
Won
they
some
got better.
Games.
Let me give you another coach who did that.
Mayo's doing it the opposite. Yeah, they're about to lose 7 straight going into the offseason.
Remember Brian Flores in Miami? We all thought he was going to have one of the worst teams when he started out.
Yeah.
The Patriots, I think with Antonio Brown, destroyed them one of the games early on in the season. It might have been Antonio Brown's first game.
Yeah, he did score a touchdown.
And then
he was done.
Well, then he was
I think it was
done.
His only game.
But I'm saying it was the Patriots just boat raced them. And we thought Miami might have been one of the worst teams in football. By the end of the year, the arrow was pointing up.
Yeah.
And so that's what you want. And so number one, and I already see it in the Twitch chat, continuity, you can't fire a coach after 1 year. Well, fine. Then that's your general philosophy on coaches. That has nothing to do with Mayo. Number two, I think you'd hear a lot, is that, well, Kraft isn't going to fire him because it would be embarrassing to Kraft because he compared it to his wives and he was handpicked 5 years ago and they put it in writing and Kraft just won't do that. Which, again, is really nothing to do with Mayo. That's nothing to do with Mayo. That's about Kraft embarrassing
just
himself.
Just from what you're watching, what you're hearing, how the team plays, how they're reacting, how it looks week 14, 15 versus week 1 and 2, I think it all points negatively to Mayo. But I would also say, like, for all the people that are of the mindset you can't fire a coach after year one, I have 5 quick examples.
Uh-huh.
And 3 of the examples did not get fired after year one. 2 of them did. And ask yourself, who made the right call?
Mm-hmm.
So Josh McDaniels got a second year in Vegas.
Bad call.
Correct. Should have just pulled the plug.
Should have pulled
the
plug.
It was not working. You set the franchise back.
Before 1 year,
Matt Patricia got multiple years in Detroit. Glaring mistake. Joe Judge got multiple years with the Giants.
Yep.
They should have cut their losses right away.
Mistake.
Might have sped up the rebuild had they gotten rid of those guys right away. Meanwhile, Urban Meyer, 1-done in Jacksonville. Dumb to hire him, but they did. But then they at least saw it in real time and were like, let's replace this guy, bring in Doug Peterson. I'm not saying Doug Peterson's great, but what they make, 2 years later, they made the playoffs? It looked like Urban Meyer was going to coach Trevor Lawrence right out of football.
Yeah.
And then Doug Peterson came in. So what if they gave him a second year? Just because you have to give guys a second year. Lawrence might be out of the league. And then Steve Wilks, another example where just 2 years later, they got Cliff Kingsbury the next year, and then they made the playoffs in like 2 years. So I just think those are all examples where Mayo's probably closer to Patricia and Judge and McDaniels. What do they have in common? Than some of these other guys that turned it around after 1 year.
Yeah, so look, again, you can fire a coach after 1 year. You just gave a good example of some who did, and it was the right call. Some who you stuck with when it was clearly the wrong decision after 1 year, they stuck with it, and it made their franchise even worse. So I think you can fire a coach after 1 year. Kraft has a certain relationship with Mayo. That's fine. Again, that's nothing to do with Mayo. That's just Kraft not wanting to embarrass himself. So I think those are the two primary reasons you hear. One, you were hearing, I don't think we're going to hear anymore, and it is specific to Mayo. Well, the team hasn't quit. The team hasn't checked out. Is that still the case? Because they felt real checked out against Arizona coming off a bye week
where
they went out to the West Coast. I keep saying West Coast. They went out to Phoenix.
Yeah. The desert.
They crossed the country, the desert. And with 4 weeks to go, the end is in sight. They put together a decent drive to start the game. Then from there, it was non-competitive. The Cardinals woke up. and you got run off the field. You scored some points late when the game was already out of hand.
Like, what's the sign of quitting? Because these guys are pros. A lot of them are millionaires. So how do you just straight up quit? Is it not tackling? Is it like no effort on a tackle, bad angles, giving up? Okay, because we saw all that.
We saw all that.
You know, is it like just not a no attention to detail, penalties, things like that? Like, that's kind of what you saw. Because nobody, it's not going to be, I mean, I guess you have the linebacker with the Niners, and you have Deontay Johnson, who literally wouldn't go onto the field.
True. So like, short Campbell, of that, Deontay Johnson, right. Chuks Okorafor did it.
But I really think this team, outside of Drake May, Christian Gonzalez, Christian Barmore, couple other guys, if they don't show full effort, they're not going to be in the NFL next year. Because teams right now are going to be using this stuff. A lot of these guys are going to be free agents, or if they're not, they could easily be cut, and they're going to want to go on to another team. And if they like pop in the tape from the final 5 weeks of the season, and these guys are just playing horribly because they quit on their coach, like, all right, well, that's it for your career. So everybody else, I feel like, has to play hard. You know, it's different. It's a lot easier to kind of quit in baseball or basketball just because of how many games there are. It's like you have one game a week. Like, you got to go out there and at least try. And I don't know if that means, hey, we're playing for the coach, or are they just playing for themselves so they can play football?
So I think that was the main thing you heard. That was the main defense of Mayo, and I think it's gone. I think it's gone. I don't think they played hard for him. And you know who agrees? Mike Reese. Mike Reese does these notebooks usually on Tuesdays after every game.
Yeah, the old Reese's Pieces.
It's like a Word document that he screen grabs. It's weird.
I don't know why he does it that way, but it works.
I mean, there's a lot of words. I guess they won't fit in a tweet, I guess is why he does
That's true.
I don't know.
But I feel like he probably has the... There are some accounts where you can just tweet books.
Yeah, it's a good point.
I feel like he probably gets one of those...
Tweet thread. He knows people tune out on tweet threads.
Yeah, I'm not reading the tweet
thread. So this is what he does. I read it every week. It's worth a read. And just know, I mean, Reese can be very critical, but he's usually nice about it.
Yeah.
Okay? These are haymakers from Mike Reese. He says, the Patriots got what they deserved. It was an unacceptable performance for a team coming off a bye, and there should be genuine soul-searching at all levels of the organization for how a team with a Patriots logo on the helmet could allow that to happen.
How about that?
I mean, for Mike Reese, that's taking a blowtorch to the organization. So general soul-searching at all levels for a
top to bottom,
a team with a Patriots logo on the helmet, that's embarrassing the organization. That is not a team that's playing hard for their head coach.
Although they did wear the throwbacks twice, and the team kind of looked similar to those years.
That's true.
Like the early 90s Pats kind of lined up with this one.
They look a little snappier on the field, but it didn't make any difference.
No.
He also criticized what you were talking about, Keith. Poor fundamentals, poor tackling, poor the angle Jabril Peppers took on that James Conner 55-yard run. I know it was only one run.
Yeah, whoops.
Gerard Mayo.
Yeah, take that one away.
Take that one away, and the whole thing looks different.
Even if they won the game, I feel like we're talking about it differently.
True.
Yeah.
He says the effort on defense sparks questions about coaching because defense, after all, is Gerard Mayo's expertise. So those are points one and two. It's embarrassing for all levels of the organization, even put the Patriots helmet on.
Mm-hmm.
And it sparks questions about Mayo and the defense because defense is his expertise. I don't know. Mild-mannered Mike Reese is saying that in his notebook how critical he is of Gerard Mayo. It doesn't sound like he's on great footing. Greg Bedard said, let's see how these final four games go. He may not survive. Albert Breer said on Sunday, he may talk himself right onto the hot seat. You had Curran a couple of weeks ago, and we're going to talk to him again coming up today at noon, saying Elliott Wolf is safer than Gerard Mayo, which caught my ear at the time. That didn't sound right to me, especially from Curran. So there's enough, I think, little items where you wonder how safe Gerard Mayo is. And again, tell me what he does well. Tell me why he should keep his job. You know, saying coaches deserve a second year has nothing to do with Mayo. That's nothing to do with him. Saying Kraft has a relationship with him and Kraft doesn't want to embarrass himself. That's independent of Mayo, too. I used to hear the team played hard for him. Mm. They didn't. They looked checked out coming off a bye week. So what is it? Why does he deserve a second year? I want to hear that.
I don't think he does. I think he probably gets it, though, because of the relationship with Kraft. Like, to your point, that's not the reason.
It's not a good reason.
No, it's not a reason why you or I or most of the fans would keep him. But if like if you just had to bet, will he be back, yes or no, I would still say yes, and it's because of that. It's not a great reason, but it's the reason.
Put a percentage on it.
What, him being back?
Yeah.
93.7?
Okay. I like that. 93.7% chance back.
I think, yeah.
But you were at zero at some point this season.
Oh, so you mean like 100%. I was at 100.
I'm sorry. Yeah. 0% chance you would be out. I'm sorry. You were at 100, 0% chance you would be out.
Oh, now, it's been brutal.
Now it's ticked up.
it's been really, really bad, and it is getting worse. It wasn't like bad and then like maintained the level. Like it has gotten worse. Here's a potential other reason to keep him. And this is tricky because you don't really know until you go through this process. But they didn't interview head coaches last year.
Mm-hmm.
They interviewed 100 offensive coordinators and landed on Alex Van Pelt.
Mm-hmm.
And then defensive coordinators, I think they did interview a couple, and then but it was kind of like a, you know, yeah, you knew it was going to be Covington.
Foregone conclusion, Covington was going to get it, yeah.
So what if Mike Vrabel takes, like, the Jets job? Like, and what if Ben Johnson takes the Bears job and you're looking around? Because that was one of our arguments we had for Belichick to be in the NFL, is the list of candidates don't look great. So let's say Vrabel's the obvious one. A lot of people are pointing to Vrabel. Let's say he's like, you guys passed up on me last year. I'll take a different job. So if he's out and you're like, we fire Mayo and then what? Like, who on God's green earth do you think you're going to get to come in here and be the head coach?
Well, again, I don't think that's a great reason to keep Mayo. Like, just because you don't think you have a great option to replace him, I don't think means you can't fire him if you know he's not the answer.
No, I like, know, I, but who are you going to, like, I think part of you has to be.
But I hear this all the time. It's like, well, you can't fire Claude Julien because who are you going to replace him with? I don't know, Bruce Cassidy, and you're going to be fine.
Yeah.
You know, like you hear that all the time. Oh, you can't move on from Brad Stevens and kick him upstairs. Who's going to come in? Well, Udoka was fine for a year. Maybe not the greatest example. And then Mazzulla plugged in.
On the court. Talking about on the court. Udoka was great on the court. Off the court.
But it's like, oh, you can't fire. No. If you know they're not the answer, you can fire them.
Yeah.
And you don't have to be afraid just because you don't love the options that are out there. Your job is to find the right guy if you know you have the wrong guy.
I guess. I just feel like, do you talk yourself into maybe he will be better in year two? And I'm talking about like the Crafts.
Well, he's talked himself into it.
I know he has. But if you're the Crafts, do you think, all right, what's better? Year two of Mayo or I don't even know who it would be. Like, I don't even know who the next
year
like
one
Aaron
of
Glenn.
Year one of Liam Cohen.
Yeah,
year
right,
one
right,
of Aaron
right,
Glenn.
Right.
I would say those things, but I don't know how
maybe
would answer it.
Maybe.
One text here, 617-779-7937. Same as the phone number. You guys are a bunch of idiots. You'll find something
Touché
to criticize no matter what. If you hire a cook and give him rotten food, no matter how good the cook is, it's going to come out rotten. They have rotten players. I mean, that's not wrong. The roster's really bad.
The roster blows.
You can fire Elliott Wolf, too, if you want.
But how do you add a number one corner, a legit elite corner, to the defense from last year? And I know you lost, like, Bentley, but it's a lot of the same guys from defense. With the addition of Gonzalez, and you're significantly worse. If you were the same, you'd be like, all right, whatever.
Yeah,
but they're much worse on defense, which should be his thing.
The team last year won 4 games. You added Drake May and you added Christian Gonzalez to that team, and somehow you're worse.
Yeah.
I mean, you added your 2 best players.
Like, who are the studs from last year's team? And I say studs kind of tongue-in-cheek, but, like, there really weren't any last year, which is also why you won 4 games. Bill, in my opinion, is out more because of the roster he put together than the coaching job that he did.
Yeah.
So you move on from him. You're like, all right, we have a new quarterback who's better. You have a shutdown corner. Like,
yeah.
What are they missing? Like, what was from last year's team that was so great?
This is not a justification for
Ezekiel Elliott.
Bill should still be here or anything like that. It's just, yes, the roster is bad. But is the coach getting anything out of the roster? He has an elite corner. He has what we feel is a franchise quarterback. And they somehow got worse.
The leading receivers last year by receptions
Pop
were
Douglas.
Ezekiel Elliott.
Oh.
Pop Douglas, Hunter Henry, Ramondre Stevenson, Kendrick Bourne.
Yeah.
So you have, I mean, and Gibson's probably been as good as Elliott was a year ago.
Sounds like the same team is what it sounds
like. Oh, the team stinks. I'm not trying to say like one's like really good and the other one's really good. Like neither one were good, but you're worse.
Yeah.
And you're also going in the wrong direction.
No, I agree. Yeah. I'm saying it sounds like the same team and you're somehow worse.
Yeah.
So what? Give me reasons for Mayo to come back. And I used to hear they're playing hard for him. They're not. That was a checked out team on Sunday. And something tells me, Keith, it's not going to be any better against Buffalo.
No, that could be bad.
617-779-7937. You can jump in here on Jerod Mayo on the hot seat. It's a Tier Tuesday. It's a Tommy Tuesday. It's a Kiefer Madness Tuesday and a D'Angelo's Tuesday.
Woo!
Very, very busy.
What a time.
Around these parts here on Jones and Keith. Billy Lanny has all the latest in trending. Let's get to Alex Van Pelt and his future as well, as he is good as gone. That's next.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Training is brought to you by Timeout Market Boston. The Bruins' West Coast road trip continues tonight in Calgary. Bees and Flames face off at 9 o'clock. Patriots players are off today. This Sunday, the Pats will be in Buffalo to play the Bills. This game has been flexed from a 1 p.m. start to a 4:25 start. And the Monday Night Football doubleheader, the Minnesota Vikings defeated the Chicago Bears 30-12. And the Atlanta Falcons got the 15-9 win over the Las Vegas Raiders. And the Celtics will return to the court on Thursday night when the Seas host the Chicago Bulls. The Celtics are currently a game and a half behind the Cleveland Cavaliers for the top seed in the Eastern Conference. Experience the essence of Boston's culinary and cultural scene at Timeout Market Boston, nestled in the Fenway. From live music sessions to food and beverage tastings and everything in between, Timeout Market Boston showcases the best of the city under one roof. I'm Billy Lanny. That's what's trending now on WEEI, WEEI.com.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Watch us, love us. Just follow WEEI on Twitch. Jones and Keefe on WEEI.
There's a lot of things to look forward to, and you know, I've been a big fan of AP and how he's handled my approach. And we're still shooting. This is only our eighth or ninth game together, so we're still figuring kind of each other out and kind of what how he's calling and how much input he wants me to kind of help him with. So. It's been nice trying to find that, and I think, you know, we're not far from it.
Drake May, kind of supporting Alex Van Pelt yesterday on WEEI Afternoons. I think the headline was
more
a
than
little,
Mayo.
Well, yeah, more than Mayo, sure. But I think the headline, and I don't even mean just from EEI, I saw this aggregated many places, and good job by Christian and Andy with their Drake May interview yesterday. If you missed any of it, it's on the Odyssey app, Audacy. Take it with you wherever you go this holiday season. You're going to want it on your phone, so you miss nothing from WEEI. But, yeah, I didn't think that was like a full-throated support of Alex Van Pelt by any means.
No.
He said some nice things, and he did more than Mayo. Good point.
Right. I think he's super frustrated with how things are going. You know, I can't imagine he loves any of it. He certainly is. It's amazing. At like 22 years old, he's better at not throwing guys under the bus than the head coaches.
No, he comes out and takes blame for interceptions.
Everything.
That have nothing to do with
interceptions.
I shouldn't say nothing to do with them, but are not his fault.
Interceptions twice in two games that have hit receivers in the hands and have ended as interceptions.
Handed them
interceptions. He's like, my bad, I got to do better. Can you imagine if that same version happened to Jerod Mayo? He would just be like, that guy, what a horrible play by that guy. I had nothing to do with that.
What do you mean?
So Drake May definitely does better of, you know, talking up coaches, even if he doesn't truly mean it, but he's just trying to like, all right, I'll answer this, move on to the next one, not start any fires.
And, you know, I think the players are pretty complimentary of
Van Pelt. I mean, Hunter Henry is when we have
Hunter Henry yesterday made a point to talk up Alex Van Pelt. He didn't say much about Mayo. Now, in fairness, and we asked both about Mayo and Van Pelt, Gonzo is like, I ride with Mayo, so I don't want to say no one is talking up Jerod Mayo. But, yeah, the players seem very supportive of Van Pelt. There was an omission yesterday from Hunter Henry, so I found that noteworthy. Text line, 617-779-7937. I used to say Tuesdays were worse than Mondays, but damn it, I love Tier Tuesday and D'Angelo Tuesday. So thanks, fellas, for the entertainment every day, but especially on Tuesday.
You are welcome. Tuesday. It's kind of the forgotten day of the week. You know, people sleep on Tuesday.
We are a little more
positive.
You're talking
into the mic.
No, I'm trying to. I can't get this microphone or I can't get this mouse to lean over.
Slide just completely off mic. What do you need?
We are a little happier and more positive on Tuesday.
Yeah, I think that's true because it's a day removed from usually a bad Patriots game, so we're away from that, and we're getting delicious submarine sandwiches later.
It's true. It's also a real Haas of a show today.
I would agree with that.
As another listener.
May already won our Haas of the Week because he was talking about how big he was.
It was Garrett Crochet
like,
last week.
I'm heavier than I think.
Garrett Crochet last week and then May talking himself up by the goal line. I'm a big Haas of a guy.
Yeah, should have given him the ball.
He's our Haas of the Week.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get some phone calls here. Then I want to get into who you'd even want to replace May. I heard Greg discussing this morning. I thought it was a good discussion. So let's get into that. Bob is in the car. Go ahead, Bob. Hey, Bob.
Bobby. Hey.
Start over, Bob. Sorry.
This is like just my third time calling.
Nice.
And I've been listening to you guys every day, but I just kind of tired of hearing about everybody getting down on Mayo. And I'll tell you what I feel. And now just tell you what I got to say, and then you guys, I'll hang up, and you guys can talk about it. I feel right now that the Patriots are in a perfect position. They got that third pick lined up, and for the draft, and that's nice because the first two picks are going to be quarterbacks, most likely. Now they got to everybody's going to be drooling for Travis Hunter. So I say trade him. Turn around and trade behind. Maybe go back a few picks, and they could pick up somebody's first round, their second round, probably their first from next year, and a third from next year.
Okay, so trade back. You're going to keep losing games and trade back from three. Again, this has nothing to do with Mayo, I guess.
Well,
losing,
no, he's saying they're in the cat bird
games
seat because they could get Mayo
fine.
Or a Hunter.
Yeah, I think you want, if it plays out the way he just said, you're drafting third and quarterbacks go one and two, that's actually not great for the idea of trading back. You want people moving up the board for quarterbacks is what
yeah,
you want.
Yeah, you would probably get more.
You're going to get way more moving down for a quarterback than for Travis Hunter.
If it was last year's draft,
yeah.
where it was obvious quarterback 1, 2, 3.
And by the way, this is a bad quarterback draft by comparison to a year ago, but teams are still going to get thirsty and all horny for these quarterbacks.
Would you take Travis Hunter?
Would I draft Hunter at three?
Yeah.
I'm not sure I would, to be honest.
I don't know. I go back and forth.
I was not big on the idea of trading back last year because I didn't want to miss out on May. I think I can be coaxed into trading back this year.
He's pretty nasty. I just feel like if you don't take him and then he ends up being awesome, you're like, oh, yeah, remember when they had the third pick and they could have had Travis Hunter?
But what if he's not an NFL receiver and you're drafting a corner third?
If he's only a corner and that's what it's all agreed upon, then no, I wouldn't take him.
Well, I'm
but if he's both or if he ends up saying, hey, I'd rather be a wide receiver mostly – then a corner?
It's early. I want more time on this. I think my favorite receiver in the draft is Luther Burden from Missouri.
Oh, really?
I think more than McMillan, than Hunter.
I saw somebody say, one of these scouts on Twitter, it doesn't have a name, it's just like Scout NFL or whatever it is, and he was like, I was doing a lot of work on Shedeur Sanders and the quarterbacks, and he's like, my big takeaway watching Shedeur Sanders, Travis Hunter. like basically, like, he just throw him the ball on like the nice. Like a 1 yard route, and then you just like take it to the house.
Look, I did not love Harrison in last year's draft, and so this is not my kind of receiver. I am not the jump ball contested catch guy. That's not me. And that's Travis Hunter. That's McMillan. That's not the kind of receiver I love.
But he's also throw to him
on
the sideline and have him like break a bunch of tackles.
He is. And look, I mean, there's a lot of dominant receivers who are jump ball guys.
You know,
like I wasn't like a big Mike Evans guy years ago when he came out. He's still putting up 1,000-yard seasons 10-plus years into his career. That's not the kind of receiver that I
typically go for. Big update in the college football video game.
Yeah.
Travis Hunter, now a 99.
Oh, nice.
They updated him.
Is he the only 99?
Good question. He might be. They usually don't just give those out.
Genty should probably be a 99.
Genty, good point. I don't know if he is, though. I'll have to double check, but they made like a big thing, so, like the big update. Travis Hunter.
Let's go to Lou in Quincy. Hello, Lou.
Hi. One of the statistics about teams coming off the bye week, everybody's been saying all week long the bye week. I was just curious. There's going to be statistics. You know, are they 75% usually winning? Or?
Yeah, league-wide, I don't know, Lou, but Bill typically did well coming off bye weeks. Andy Reid is historically good coming off bye weeks. Those are two of the greatest coaches in the history of the sport. All I would say is you have another week to catch your breath, to self-scout, to coach your team up, specifically to the next opponent. You have 2 weeks to get ready for the Cardinals. And I don't know what the overall winning percentage is. Maybe you have it, Keith. I didn't even need them to win. I did not need them to beat Arizona. I just said they need to look buttoned up. And what they did on their opening drive was they take the ball, which I didn't mind. They win the coin toss. They take the ball. Fine. Be aggressive coming out of the bye week. Let's do it. Drake May is the best thing about the team. Let's go out and try to score. They march down the field. They get a holding penalty. They miss a kick. And from there, Arizona takes over.
This season,
to me was no good. Yes.
I have this. Just for this season alone.
Good.
Teams are 15-17 after the bye.
Okay, so not good.
This year it's almost 500.
Okay. I would be curious to see how good teams are coming off the bye. And again, I'm not asking you to do that work. I would like to see improvement coming off the bye week. That's all.
Yeah.
And maybe the metrics don't back that up. But I know for Bill, he was good coming off bye weeks. I know Andy Reid was good coming off bye weeks. Maybe that's a high comp for a guy like Mayo. But I don't think it's asking too much to see your team improve a little bit off the bye. That's all.
I think it's like yeah, looking at this, I don't know how far it goes back, but it's a long ways. It's like 40 years or something like that, or at least 40 different buys. I would say more teams than not, it's close. Like 18 of them maybe have a winning record after a buy. The rest don't.
Okay.
You have teams like Philadelphia, Denver, Baltimore,
Pittsburgh. More than half the league coming off a bye, yeah. 18 out of 32 has a winning record. So it's not.
Yeah, overall, you can say it's an advantage. It's not an overwhelming advantage, but it should be an advantage.
You should show up better off your bye week than not. I want to get to this. Bob is in Florence. Hello, Bob.
All right, Bob.
Yeah, hey. Hey, I want to talk about Gerard Mayo.
All right.
That guy should be gone, you know?
All right.
You hear me?
Yeah, we got you.
Yeah, we heard you loud and clear.
He should be gone, and I'll tell you, you know, get Vrabel in here. You know what? There's a coach I'd love to see. I know he's probably tied up financial-wise, but they should have gone after Sean Payton a couple years ago or whatever.
Okay, well, Bill was still employed when Sean Payton got hired.
I don't want Sean Payton. Although Bo Nix looking good.
He's having a good
year. You could do worse.
He's having a good year, and the Broncos were sneaky competitive last year. Sean Payton, not my favorite either. You hear a lot of Mike Vrabel.
Yeah.
I think the Kraft's like Vrabel, which is why I say there's a reason to move on from Mayo right now. If you think you're going to miss your opportunity to go get Vrabel, we've been bringing that up for weeks and weeks. Who's your guy to replace Mayo if they move
on? My guy's a pipe dream, but it's Ben Johnson. Okay. I think everybody's going to throw a ton of money at him. He's got the number one offense with Detroit. I think most people don't even love Jared Goff, so you give him so much credit for doing what he's doing with Jared Goff.
Let's say he goes to the Bears, because I agree he's a pipe dream. Let's say he goes to the Bears and you got to pick next. Who are you going to Vrabel? Are you going to Flores? Guys with Patriots ties. Would you look at another offensive coordinator like Liam Cohen? Would you look at another guy from Detroit on the defensive side like Aaron Glenn? If you can't hit your pipe dream, who's your fallback?
People are going to laugh at it, but maybe Cliff Kingsbury. Just so I could, because I think it has so much to do.
You need somebody to work with the young quarterback.
Yes,
you like Kingsbury.
I do. I've always liked Kingsbury. Now, I like him as a coordinator. I want them to interview him and hire him as a coordinator. I'm not entirely sold on the head coach, but maybe he's one of these examples. No, I get it. That's probably the reaction by most people. But I just think it's so important to line it up with Drake May. He has been great with quarterbacks in his entire career. If Jaden Daniels is Rookie of the Year this year, I think Cliff Kingsbury deserves credit for that. So if you pair him up there, and then, hell, if you want to even keep Alex Van Pelt as the offensive coordinator, some continuity for Mayo, you can.
There'd be a way to do it.
And have Cliff Kingsbury call plays, have Van Pelt go back to what he did in Cleveland when he was technically the OC, but he's really more of a quarterback coach. I would be more in favor of that. I don't love the anybody tied to Belichick.
Me
now,
either.
Vrabel's different. Vrabel is different.
That's what I was just going to say. Though. Vrabel is different,
It's
still a... It's still a Belichick tie.
I mean, Kingsbury technically was drafted by him, but like, you know what I mean? I think Vrabel's whole coaching career was away from Bill. His playing career, sure, obviously was here.
Yeah.
But like, I don't look at Kevin O'Connell and be like, oh, that was a Bill guy.
No, but he spent 1 year with Bill.
No,
I mean, Vrabel was with Bill for 7 or 8 years.
But like, that's where you and I maybe disagree. Like, I never even lump Vrabel into the coaching tree. I think of guys who are coordinators or position coaches on the team.
He's got some Bill stink on him, but it's less than Flores and certainly Mayo and guys like that.
But he also has some success.
He does.
Which none of those other guys really do.
True.
I mean, Bill O'Brien a little bit, but like nobody else really does.
I told you midway through the year, I'm talking myself into a little bit of just getting I don't love a retread coach, but getting somebody in who understands what the job entails.
Like a Dom Capers. You want Dom Capers.
Sure, like a Dom Capers, or in this case, like a Vrabel.
Yeah.
Because Mayo was so not ready. I want somebody who I know is ready. So I think Vrabel's my answer, but
that's what
I don't love about. I don't love the Bill stink.
If it is Vrabel, is Arthur Smith coming with him? Like
sure.
Arthur, they had a good combination.
Yeah, sure. Let's
I think that's important because one of the things with Mayo this year was like, all right, well, if you're having Mayo, you better hit it out of the park with the offensive coordinator. And honestly, better than I expected, but it was your 13th choice, and it was a guy. You don't look at him and you're like, oh my God, look out, top of the league. Whereas like that's what you get with Ben Johnson. I think there is that upshot with Cliff Kingsbury. Arthur Smith has at least done it as a coordinator. Look what he's doing in Pittsburgh with those two quarterbacks, and like they're having a good year. So I desperately need either an offensive head coach, or if it's Vrabel or another one of these defensive guys, like who's your guy? It better be somebody pretty damn good.
Yeah, you got to come in with a good OC. That's true. But I think with Vrabel, there's an obvious catch.
Yeah, there might be.
617-779-7937. Who's your guy? If you move on from Mayo, what's keeping Mayo here? Like, what are the reasons to keep him around? I still haven't heard a good one. We can get into the Patriots and what they actually need beyond a head coach, which I think they need. Is it wide receiver? Is it offensive line? Is it something else? What's the biggest need for the Pats? That's next.
Now, Jones and Keefe
on WEEI. Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
We're looking at a three-win Patriots team with a month to go. The offense is 31st in points, 31st in yards. Jerod Mayo was asked about this earlier in the week, whether or not he has been assured or told he'll be back next season. Do you feel like you'll be back next season, or have you been told you'll be back next season?
I'm trying to make it to Sunday, guys. That's it. Just trying to get the best thing out there on Sundays. We'll see what happens after that.
So, but you have not been told you'll be back next season?
No, that never comes up in a matter of, in the course of a season anywhere I've ever been.
How have I never heard this? I don't know. This is a fantastic. This is one of my requests. Nick started playing Christmas songs. I was like, let's go with this one. This is a the Twitch chat's going nuts.
This was a specific Keith request last break. What a banger. What is this?
Lil Jon, All I Want for Christmas.
How did I not know about this?
I don't know. It's an all-timer. There's a lot of Christmas songs. I think what happens is you hear the same 15, 20 over and over and over and over and over and over and over again.
Turn this up.
They need more like this.
Yeah. I want Christmas to go hard. That's what
it does.
I want Christmas to go hard.
It does.
I don't need Bing Crosby and Sinatra.
I got another one for you next break that'll rip your socks right off your feet.
People like this.
Stockings right off the fire.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's definitely it. Wow. Yeah. I'm disappointed in myself for not knowing this.
Yeah.
Love me some Lil Jon.
He's great. I saw him perform.
Mm.
So the Minnesota Super Bowl, however many years ago, when the Patriots played the Eagles,
mm-hmm.
during the week we were out there, and on like a random Tuesday or Wednesday night, the Timberwolves were in town. So me and Jason Rossi, former producer,
mm-hmm.
RIP, we went to the T-Wolves game. At halftime?
Lil Jon.
Lil Jon! Wow. Lil Jon concert broke out.
That's awesome.
You know who was at that game?
Bill Belichick. Oh, I remember that.
Yeah, you ripped him, I think, for it, right?
I 100% yeah. did. I'm like, look at this loser.
Where's the focus?
Look at this loser at the game.
And like,
turns out?
Maybe he's on something. He's like, I got to watch Carl Anthony Towns shoot threes all day.
I did. I ripped the crap out of him for that. I forgot about that.
I was there.
Yeah. Huh, good take. Good take, Jones.
I don't believe that.
Nice. That's a good, strong take. What are you doing at the Timberwolves game, you loser? anyway, maybe he knew Lil Jon was in town. I like Lil. I used to
maybe
very
Malcolm
much...
Butler should have benched him.
this is very much not a political statement.
I
enjoyed Celebrity Apprentice very much back in the day with our soon-to-be president again, Donald Trump. And Lil Jon was phenomenal on that show.
Was he?
Phenomenal.
Yes, together we will make America
grab bag.
I will tell again. You, that was a great, great show. That was a great reality show.
Yeah, no, it was.
But Lil Jon, phenomenal on it.
Yeah, he's great.
I forget if it was Big or Rich.
He enhances everything.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
You know, whatever he's in, whatever song he's on, whatever show he's on.
Christmas is now better.
Yeah.
Because of Lil Jon. I don't even know about that.
Correct.
Twitch chat. Oh, it's 10 years old, Jones. How did you not know about it?
Sorry.
I was taking myself to task for not knowing about it. I didn't assume it was brand new on Spotify.
this came
week.
Out this morning. Here it is. Lil Jon.
But he was great. I forget if it was Big or Rich, one of them as well. I forget which one.
They were on there?
Trace Adkins, very good. A lot of country artists, it turns out.
Johnny Damon.
Wasn't he on there? He went pretty far, actually. Him and Brandi Glanville, I think, had a little thing going on.
Is that right?
Yeah.
She's got a thing going on right now. I think something's wrong with her face. They're she's all over TMZ. I think they're like, yeah, well, no, like doctors are like, we got to get in there and fix
really?
It. Yeah, I think so.
I did not really.
I follow the tabloids.
I like how you said that.
Something's wrong with her face. I don't know. Like, I didn't do anything, so I just saw it on the internet.
Should get that figured out
nice.
Before the New Year's.
More Keith Christmas requests. That thing was a banger.
I got another one. Different genre coming up next.
Okay.
Yeah.
Corn Christmas.
Close.
Okay.
Dan's in Rhode Island. Hello, Dan.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Yeah.
Pain and pleasure.
Here's what I would, the Patriots, real quick, what I would wish would happen. If they're fortunate enough to finish in the top two, which sounds like it's a two quarterback race right now, that's where people are going to pony up to get to. I would love to see them get there, but I don't want any part of them picking a wide receiver. Or T. Higgins doesn't do it for me. So obviously trade out, take some capital, and go after a guy that's proven that probably is going to be on the block like DK Metcalf.
Okay. So I actually think –
There's a lot over there.
There was a lot
Hold
there.
On a second.
I
doesn't want a wide receiver.
I gave
doesn't
a lot of
want
rope.
T. Higgins.
I gave a lot
T.
of
Higgins,
rope.
But wants DK.
Yeah, interesting. I prefer DK to T. Higgins.
I like DK Metcalf.
I definitely prefer Metcalf to Higgins.
I don't think it's a huge gap, but I would take.
He's DK been a Metcalf. One. Higgins has never been a one.
If you get a trade for Metcalf, so now I'm getting a high pick, oh, trading it for Metcalf, well, or I just use the high pick.
Fair.
I'm
sorry.
Sign to.
Well, that's fair. If you're talking about acquisition costs, but who's a better receiver? I prefer DK. Is all I would say.
Okay.
I like Debo a lot. I think he's going to be available, but he's had a real rough season.
And his contract is not great.
Yeah, I'd have to look at if that can be finagled at all. Garrett Wilson is supposedly about to demand a trade. By the way, someone on the text line is complaining about specifically my recommendation of JSN over Garrett Wilson, says he lost a playoff matchup.
Is that right? Lost?
Yeah,
what happened to Terp? Did we find that out? He was going.
Terp must have won because Caleb Williams got a late touchdown.
Yeah,
but I think
Justin Jefferson had a good game.
It looked real dicey.
And dropped the second touchdown.
But speaking of the draft, so right now the Patriots do have the third pick, and they have 3 wins. After last night, both Vegas and the Giants have 2. Mm-hmm. Vegas is on a nice 10-game skid. Giants have lost 9 in a row.
It's a real race to the bottom.
But there's a chance. Now, I don't think the Pats win again. So I don't think we have to worry about them adding a win.
Mm-hmm.
But the question is, can they get up there a little bit higher? And then whoever wants Shedeur Sanders or Cam Ward is like, all right, we got to trade a bunch. Because then I'm there. So if I have the first or second pick, I'm all for trading down and getting a ransom.
At third, you might want the best player.
I'm considering Travis Hunter. Or as the process goes out, is there a no-brainer left tackle? Like, maybe don't mess around and just take him.
I don't think there's going to be a tackle there.
So doesn't seem like it. Like, Will Campbell's like eighth, right, people are saying, or lower.
And he's a guard.
And the other guy, or who's the other guy?
Banks.
Texas.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, my favorite... My favorite receiver in the draft is going to go later, which makes me open to trading down sitting here on December 17th, but fortunately I have a long way to go on.
Sure do.
617-779-7937. You can jump in here on Jones and Keefe. Busy Tuesday. Tier Tuesday. We're going to tear off Christmas movies coming up about a half an hour from now. Tommy Tuesday. Tommy Curran at high noon. We got Keefe for Madness at 12:45. And
oh, is that submarine sandwiches?
I don't quite smell the D'Angelo's here yet. But it's also a D'Angelo's Tuesday. We're going to sink our teeth into that. We'll also get the two Patriots rivals on a collision course in the AFC. Who are you rooting for? How's it going to shake out? We'll get to it next.